Quickly, just real quick, I forgot one announcement, and that is the cookbook. So these two forms are on this table. Take a look. It's the instructions on how to get your recipe on the web and a form. If you don't want to do that, you can just write it down and somebody else will do it for you. Super easy. All right, enough of that. Told you, we just have so much going on. I can't even get it all in. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 21 through 34. I'm going to ask that you stand for the reading of the gospel. May the word of God fall afresh on your ears this day. Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under the bushel basket or under the bed and not on the lampstand? For there is nothing hidden except to be disclosed, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Let anyone with ears to hear listen." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given you. For to those who have, more will be given, and from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. And he did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Truly, the faith we have within us is planted in us like little seeds. Today, we had Promotion Sunday, and that's what we're doing. We're planting and we're nourishing so that as these kids grow, we will see a great harvest. And that harvest is hearts on fire for Jesus. We also, each one of us, have had a seed of faith grown in us. Sometimes these seeds flourished with great nourishment, and other times these little seeds struggled to produce. We went through some hard times. And there have been some point in our life, maybe even when we thought that little seed wasn't going to produce, that it would just die. But it doesn't. But it does need to be nourished. And all of us here in this room are old enough to be responsible to nourish what's been planted within us. It means that we're responsible for our spiritual disciplines. We're responsible to nourish that seed, to read the Bible, to glean in the Word of God, to pray, to gather with other believers, to talk about what we believe in and what the Holy Word says, how God is moving us and where we see God in our lives, to spend time with God every day. We're responsible for that. No one else is responsible in doing that for you. And when Jesus talks about that light, it's tucked away in you. There's no point when you light a candle to hide it. How many of you turn on the light in your room, in your house, and put on sunglasses? You don't. That light was turned on for a purpose so that you could see? Or how many of you have the capability to turn on your lights, but you refuse, and you just rather stumble around in the darkness? That's the same with the faith that's been planted in you. It wasn't meant to be tucked away. It wasn't meant to be hidden. It was meant to be a beacon, a light to the world. When we don't share that light, when we tuck it away because for whatever reason, because we want to be politically correct, because we don't want to offend anyone, because, oh my goodness, my faith is my own personal business. No, it's not. Your faith is everybody else's business. Your faith is personal, but it is not private. Because if we all thought that faith was private, guess what? The church would cease to exist. It is through sharing the faith that the church continues to flourish. And when we lose that art of sharing our faith, sharing the good news, it will begin to dwindle. We've been living in this dwindling for years. Every church, every denomination, because we've lost the art to evangelize, to share our faith, because we've lived as if, like that person who turns on their light and puts on their sunglasses, or that person who refuses to turn their light at all. And what Jesus says about us when we live like this is those who have little, even that will be taken away from them. But what's fascinating is those who learn how to share their faith in simple ways are given more, because it becomes a reciprocal relationship. When you invest in someone else's faith, something happens in yours. There's this nourishing and this growth within your own, and more is given to you. I remember being younger, and the word evangelism scared me, freaked me out. Part of that was being an introvert. I didn't really want to share anything. The best person to share my thoughts with was myself, right? And I mentioned this to you before. My family, every year, for several years in a row, would go to Aldersgate Renewal Ministries. It's this charismatic part of the United Methodist Church. And I would be in this young singles part that we would gather together, and I met this guy named Daniel, who was he had the gift of evangelism, and he wanted to share the love of God with everyone. So we are gathered together in a group in the hotel lobby, and he sees this guy who is struggling. He's had a few at the bar, and Daniel says, "Come with me, I want to go talk to this guy." I'm like, "Really? You want to go talk to this guy? Do we have to? Come on, come on, come with me." I'm like, "Okay." So we go talk to this guy, and Daniel pipes up and he says, "Do you know Jesus?" And the guy kind of looks at him kind of blurry-eyed. This probably isn't the best evangelism technique. It's not. This guy kind of looks at him kind of fuzzy, and I really don't remember how the conversation went except how uncomfortable I was. And thinking to myself, this is never going to work. And that kind of evangelism doesn't. I have great respect for Billy Graham, and I think he did a wonderful thing, and I think a lot of people gave their hearts to Christ, but there was one problem with that. He traveled, and with every community that he went, he left with the hope that people would get, those people who surrendered their hearts to Jesus would get plugged in. Because hearts are nourished and flourish in community, in relationships. And if those individuals who surrendered their heart to Christ were not plugged into those relationships, and they just went back to their every normal, everyday life, guess what happened? Not a whole lot. And so a few would get plugged in, but a majority of them did not, because relationship is extremely important to evangelism. It is a key component. You really can't evangelize anyone whom you do not have a relationship with. Because when you plant the good news into someone, there has to be some form of trust in the giver. Let me take a moment to define evangelism. This is one of my favorite little books. It's called Crazy Talk. It's a not-so-stuffy dictionary of theological terms. I bring it because I think that you will appreciate it. It's extremely snarky, and I enjoy it. All right, so the term evangelism, it's a noun, so it is something that you do. All right. The main definition is the terrifying act of sharing the good news with those who desperately need to hear it. And it goes on to say this. Like many crazy talk terms, evangelism comes from the Greek, and this may keep ordinary people clueless about what it means. For most, evangelism describes an act that is presumptuous, pushy, and painful. But the Greek word evangelion means good news. Evangelism isn't any act of speaking or doing that shares with others the good news that Jesus Christ loves them unconditionally. Evangelism is not a program or a strategy. It is a way of life, which is, of course, crazy talk. When evangelism works, when we plant a seed in someone else, it has to do with deep, abiding relationships. Those of us who grew up in homes that had very strong, faithful, believing parents, they invested in us and nourished that seed that was planted in us. My mom was a fabulous evangelist to me and my sister. She prayed with us. She read Bible stories to us. She talked about her faith a lot. If we woke up early enough, we would find her praying in the living room. Her life was a witness to us. My mom was a phenomenal, and still is, a phenomenal evangelist. And if you let her, if you open up the topic of theology, of her faith in God, of love of people, of church, she will talk nonstop. That's an evangelist. And she's an introvert. She's more introverted than I am. But she's found that passion. When this becomes your lifestyle, it becomes passionate. Think about those things that you could talk about for hours, your hobbies. For some, it may be golf. Others, it may be cars. Some of us, it might be clothes. What we like to do, what we like to watch, how we want to spend our day. Like right now, I can't stop talking about vacation. I'm super excited, right? It becomes so natural to be able to speak about it. When we're not comfortable speaking about our faith, what does that say about our faith? It says that it's not really much of a passion. It speaks the same thing about other things we don't really like to talk about. Like my husband's passion is fishing and hunting, trucks, guns, man things. And he talks to me about those, and I go on autopilot. And if you ask me to talk about those things, I cannot, because they are not my interests. And I could live happily without them, but I couldn't live happily without my husband. Right? Aww. It's the same thing about our faith. If we can't talk about our faith, about our love for God, about our heart for service, about how it has changed our life, it's not a passion. And can you really say that you are a follower of Jesus if you are not passionate about it? Can you really say that you are a follower and lover of Jesus if you're not passionate about Jesus Christ? And if you're not passionate about Jesus Christ, then you probably cannot be passionate about God's people. And when you're not passionate about God's people, then it really is easy to hide your light under a bushel. It really is easy to stumble around in the dark. And it really is easy not to nourish your own faith that is within you. You see, we're all connected because we serve a communal God. Jesus was constantly saying in the Gospel of John, I am in the Father is in me. Those who abide in me abide in the Father. You hear this connectedness. They're all together. They're all one. When we abide in the Father abides in us. When we pray, give us this day, give who? Us. Not give me or give you daily bread. Give us daily bread. We even pray communally and we don't even realize it because we are one in the Father. Your faith wasn't given to you so that you could save your own soul. That's not your goal in life. God loves you. Hopefully you're opening your heart to the witness of the Holy Spirit, that your heart cries out, Abba, Father, that you know God loves you unconditionally. You shouldn't have to worry about the saving of your own soul any longer if you are taking care of your faith. There shouldn't be any doubt. Your faith was given to you so that you could go out into the world like a beacon, like that lighthouse in the darkness, shedding light on the rocky shore, shining out salvation, safety, peace. That your life is lived out as an invitation so that others might know Christ through you. It is a lifestyle. It is a way of doing and a way of being. In your personal time, yes. In your private time, yes. But also in your public life as well. I can think of specifically in the way of evangelism will come and go in your own life. For example, you will have these intense relationships where you know you've hit a home run. I can think of a couple of my own. When I first went into ministry, there was this lady named Mary Tyler, and she just had doubts, not of God, but of Jesus, and if Jesus really was God. So I began to have lunch with her because something awesome happens over the breaking of the bread. Right? It's the power of community, the power of being at communion, being at a table with one another. Having these conversations about who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, that they are one. And finally, after having conversations and me being open to hear what she says as well, not about just what I say, but being open to what she said as well, how transforming that was for the both of us. And then another lady, Angela, several years ago, just probably about 5 years ago, having intentional time together, at least 1 hour a week, just to talk about our faith, worship, what we thought about God, what we thought about Jesus, what we thought about the Holy Spirit, what we thought about living in community. Where is God when we are hurting? Just those kind of conversations together. Just everyday life in God. What does that mean and what does that look like? And it was transformative to both of us. But watching her life change, watching this joy come alive in her, that's when you know that you've become a really good evangelist. When you see people come to life and you recognize that new life in them. You, every single one of you, are called to this way of life. There's no reason to be afraid of it. You've just got to find your passion if you have not. So here's your homework for this week. Number one is to assess, how's that little plant growing in your soul? What's that little seed doing? Is it flourishing? Is it making a tree? Is it making a bush? Or is it withering away in the sun? Right? Some of you may feel that way sometimes. Some of you may just still have that little seed and it hasn't cracked open yet. We're all in different places. There's no judgment about that. We're just on different journeys, and that's okay. But whatever journey we're on, we have to nourish that seed within us, wherever that seed is, to water, to make sure it gets sun, make sure it gets in community, make sure it flourishes. So how is your faith? How is your soul? What's going on in there? So if your little plant is not so healthy, your goal this week is to begin to find new ways to nourish your soul. And that'll look different for every person. You've got to be willing to try new things, to read different parts of the Bible, to see what speaks to you, to pray at different times, to visit with other Christians. Find someone to mentor you. Who's that person you really look up to that goes, golly, that person has such a great amount of faith. I want to have faith like that person. You know what? That person would be completely honored to say, you know what? I'd love to have lunch with you and talk about my faith. To invite someone into that kind of relationship is an honor and a privilege. Don't think that it would be a waste of their time or that they would tell you no. Don't be afraid to ask. Now, for those of you who have a healthy plant going on, you are giving shade, you are giving light, you are nourished. Your goal is to find someone to nourish, to invest in someone else, to share your light. Who can you live out being an evangelist with? To be able to talk about God and life, what's going on in your own life, to hear what's going on in theirs, to walk with them during their struggles. That's your goal for the week. We are all called to nourish our own faith and to invest in someone else's. The scripture tells us the kingdom of God is like this. It's like the faith of a little mustard seed. That when the farmer goes out to plant, he goes out and he looks at the seed every single day to see what's going on. He doesn't really understand how it all works because some of it remains in the mystery of God. But he is faithful to go and look every single day. And he watches that seed mature and grow into a fruit-bearing plant so that he can go out and she can go out and harvest. And the harvest, if we live our life out as evangelists, will be great. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.